I'm just curious, how many of you are here because you were personally invited by Caitlin herself today? Okay, awesome. Very, very nice. Just allow me to indulge this story for a few minutes, okay? This is going to be a little bit of a long but great story. So, Grant Crane came to know Christ, I guess it's about 3 years ago, is that right? And soon after his conversion, he was working at a lab at UGA, and most of the people, I guess, in that lab, seems like most of them that I've heard so far are not necessarily believers. And so sharing that same lab was another group, and in this group was a young girl named Caitlin Cato. She's working on a PhD, and brilliant young mind, and she was invited by Grant to come visit our church. Well, what you may or may not know is that at the time she was an atheist. She had sort of been an atheist for a while, and she came to our church somewhat curious. And one of the things she told me, and this is to God's glory through his work in the lives of the people in this room, is Caitlin started to see something amongst people in this church. She said that she saw an emptiness amongst unbelieving friends that she knew at work who just didn't seem to have a lot of joy or contentment in their lives. But she saw amongst people in this church a kind of joy and a fulfillment that seemed different than the people at work. And that was one of the things that kept her coming back. And she would come here for a while, and then she might not be here for a few months or a few weeks. And then she would show back up again a few months later. Well, my wife and I had a small group, and many of you were in this group, at our house. And Caitlin started coming to our small group, a discussion group that we have at our house. And it was very interesting. The Hakamas were there, and they were participating in that group. And they remember, I am sure, these moments where Caitlin would say in the class, you know, in the room, she would say, you know, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a believer, but kind of this is my thought, or this is what I'm struggling with understanding about the Bible. So Kelly and I had Caitlin over for dinner a couple times over maybe a course of a year and a half, and many of you in the room befriended her and got to know her. And I remember the first time we had her over for dinner, she was just, in her mind, nothing about God in the Bible made any sense. And I have a heart for people in that situation, because that was all of us, I think, at one point in our lives. And she said, I just don't get it. I don't get why God would send Jesus. I don't understand why Jesus would have to die for someone on the cross. I don't understand lots of things in Scripture. And she asked me some hard questions over the dinner table. I was like, Kelly, help me. There were some hard questions she was asking. I'm not sure I had great answers to some of her questions. But what was so encouraging to me, and this is so often the case, when the person keeps coming back, when they keep asking questions, even when the pieces are not coming together in their mind and it's not adding up, when they keep coming back and there's that hunger, that stirring in their heart, I think there is great hope for that person when that is what is happening. Well, fast forward now, I guess about 2.5 years. And Caitlin had been gone for a while, and she came back, and she would sit right here on about the second or third row every Sunday while I was preaching, and she would have questions after the service. Well, then I found out she had moved from atheist to agnostic at a point. And I said, this is progress. We're moving in the right direction here, okay? There is no God. Maybe there's no God. Okay, we're moving somewhere. And then over a period of a little bit more time, this gets up to about 5-6 months ago, she had become a theist. Say, okay, we're going in the right direction here. So this is what she said. She said, I really don't think the intricacies of this creation and the beauty and the sophistication of how all these organisms work, and she studies these things, I don't see how this could have happened by accident. It just seems to me that there's a brilliant artist, designer, creator behind what I see with my eyes, but I just don't know what to think about Jesus. I just don't know what to think about Jesus. And so we encouraged her to read the Gospels. We're in the Gospel of John as a church, and we asked her to read John and Luke, and she started reading through parts of Scripture, sometimes puzzled and sometimes intrigued as time went on. Well, just a few months ago, the Lord drew Caitlin to herself, and after a church service here the next week, she said, hey, I need to talk to you after the service, to me. And I said, this could be good or bad, okay? I'd love to talk. And so she stuck around, and she talked with me right here. And standing right here, she says, it happened. And I'm like, what? She says, what happened? And she says, the Lord adopted me. And I kid you not, I did not know what that meant. I was like, what? And she said, it's happened. I know the Lord. Like, the Lord has saved me. And I was like, okay, please sit down. And I hope you have like 20 minutes right now, because I need to hear what's going on. And she told the story of what the Lord had just recently done in her life. And guess what? Now she will tell you. Ask her after this service is over. She now has a hunger for the very Bible that used to puzzle her so much. And listen, we all have things in the Bible that are hard for us to understand. That's true. Remember 2 Peter? Some things in Paul's letters are hard to understand. Amen. But just because some things are difficult doesn't mean there isn't a love for the Word of God to get to know our Lord and Savior. And so I want to read to you something Caitlin wrote this week. These are her own words. I haven't changed anything here. And so just listen to what Caitlin said. Before coming to Christ, I spent all of my time and energy cultivating a picturesque life. I reveled in the praises that people would bestow upon me for my accomplishments and drove myself to ever-increasing lengths to gain such recognition. I defined myself by all of the things that I did and achieved. I was a scholar, a dancer, an athlete, a kind person, and great many other things that confirmed in my mind that I was a successful person. I'm sure from the outside my life looked amazing because I poured blood, sweat, and tears into making it look that way. Only my boyfriend Zachary and my family got to peek behind the curtain and to see the broken and anguished person that was so desperate for approval that she couldn't sleep some nights for fear that she wasn't accomplishing enough with her life. She would push herself to the limits of mental and physical exhaustion so that she could feel like she wasn't a failure. Even now, tears pour down my face and my heart breaks for this person. She was drowning and could not figure out how to save herself. There was a void in her heart that could never be satisfied. Nothing and no one on earth could help her, not her friends, not her family, not even her therapist. I am blessed beyond measure that God heard my cries and sent a friend into my life to share the gospel. I was hesitant. I read that and I said, about 3 years. That was hesitant. Yes, that's true. But the Lord was at work. But my heart was softened to the word. Little by little, I learned to put my trust in God and his promises, and thank God, I have been saved. I am humbled daily by the sacrifice that Jesus has made on my behalf, and I am inspired to be more like him. I love this line. I still struggle with the desire to please, but I am no longer a slave to it. I still struggle with the desire to please, but I'm no longer a slave to it. I now give my fear and anxiety to God because I know that I was never meant to carry those burdens alone. In the days since becoming a Christian, the weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders, and there is a continuous peace and joy in my heart that is unlike anything I have ever known. Now, I just want to read a brief passage. You don't have to turn there right now, from Romans, and listen to these words about baptism. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I just want to be very clear. If you're not familiar with the practice of baptism, we do not think, no one in this room is saying, that this act right now is what is going to save Caitlin from her sins. She is already in a right relationship with God by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But baptism, much like a wedding ring, is an outward visible sign of an inward true reality. Taking off the ring doesn't make me unmarried. Putting it on doesn't make me married. Baptism is a symbol, an outward way of telling the world that I belong to Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to pray briefly, and then we are going to get to witness this wonderful moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a God who saves those who are dead in sin, like all of us once were. Lord, thank you for your patience, the way you slowly drew Caitlin bit by bit, piece by piece, towards your son Jesus. And we thank you that there has been an evident change in her life from her heart to her actions and her deeds. And Lord, we are rejoicing together right now. I pray you'd be honored in this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Invite you to turn to Romans 10 with me. What a great story when the Lord does a work like that. Romans chapter 10. I want to read from verse 5 to 17. This reminds us of what the Lord did in Caitlin's life and certainly what he is calling us to do. So I'll read this passage. We'll look at three questions and then go to the Lord with confession and praying also for Kevin and Kelly. I'll tell you about that in a second. Verse 5 in chapter 10. Moses writes about the righteousness as based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your hearts who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between you and Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now listen to this progression of how this happens. Verse 14, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I want to give a great example. We see Caitlin, and we see how Grand invited her, and then many of you have shared in proclaiming the word to her. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. Kevin and Kelly, would you raise your hands so we know that right there? Kevin and Kelly have been coming to our church for a few months now, and Kevin has a fantastic opportunity that we want to pray, and I want to invite you to pray for this week. He is headed to Kurdistan, and it is a region in the northern part of Iraq, not where most of us go on our field trips, but he is headed there as a medical missionary. He's a physical therapist, and the Kurdish army has all kinds of people that just need his help. And so he is going to go there from October the 4th to the 12th, this week to next Saturday, and we want to pray for just your huge opportunity out there, Kevin, and for Kelly as she stays home with the family. But what's exciting about this is their family is considering to say, is this where the Lord would have us long term? And so just like we've seen the Lord do with Taylor and Ansley in this right now in Malaysia, with this in mind, there has to be a church, some people to send those out into the field. And then once they're sent, someone will preach. Someone will preach that good news. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And then once people have preached, there are those that believe. Caitlin believed. And then what happens? Calls on the name of the Lord and was saved. And so that's the progression, three things. Have you called on the name of the Lord to be saved? The very most important. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. When you think about verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Secondly, are you proclaiming his word to others? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then thirdly, are we sending those to proclaim that word of God? Are we sending those? Are we doing it ourselves? Have we called on the name of the Lord to be saved? Let's go to the Lord and pray, and I will close this in a minute. gracious Father, there is no miracle like a regenerated heart. It never gets old to see what you do through your word and through your spirit in the life of Caitlin, through countless people here. Lord, through what Kevin will preach and teach in the northern part of Iraq, what Taylor and Ansley are able to proclaim every day in Malaysia, what all of us can do in our workplace, even as Grant invited Caitlin years ago. Lord, we pray that this would be a regular habit of ours, that we would go to work with that kind of a mindset, or to class. Certainly, Father, we pray that we would be a church that sends others, whether it's right around here or whether it's overseas, to proclaim your word. Lord, we would confess that at times other things get in our way. Maybe we get caught up in the world, in the busyness of life, and we forget what's really important. And so I ask this week, Lord, that anyone in here who has yet to know the Savior, that they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Father, I pray that those of us who know you would proclaim your word, that you would do that great work of regeneration and change those who are dead in their transgressions and their sins to become alive in Christ. And then, Lord, that each of us would be quick to send others out with through prayer, through our finances, through our encouragement, that people would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. So we commit this to you, Lord. We're so grateful for the opportunity that Kevin has, and pray for Kelly as well as she prays and cares for her family while Kevin's gone. Make us faithful to pray for him as well, and we pray this in Jesus' name.